This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, Flag Day, June 14th. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome to Morning Air on this Flag Day in our nation. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Dr. Joseph Meany, the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, who will join us to talk about a Catholic perspective on human embryos and the creation of chimeras. A little bit later, Yvonne Brizolara, the author of a book, Getting to Know Your Partner Before You Get Married, will join us with her insights on the sacrament of marriage. We'll also have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner, all this and more during this hour here on Morning Air. We start the day giving thanks to the Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We continue to pray for peace and unity in our nation, as we've been doing for such a long time, for more than 15 months. We pray for our U.S. bishops, who will be meeting later this week, as Glenn just reported at the top of the show. We give thanks to the Lord that the pandemic is finally coming to an end, with many states opening up 100%, including California, which will be opening up tomorrow. On this Flag Day, we celebrate what our flag represents, one nation under God.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, every day at the beginning of the show, we feature a power scripture from the Playbook of Life, because the Word of God is powerful and it can change hearts. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 2 Corinthians 6:2. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." As Catholic Christians, we need to understand that our salvation is a process. It's a race, like a marathon. It's not a sprint. St. Paul reminds us that we were saved by grace and faith in Jesus Christ. We are working out our salvation in fear and trembling, and we will be saved if we persevere until the end. Today is the day of salvation. Let us begin. Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, for us as human beings, we have an instinctive negative reaction to the idea, the thought of growing human kidneys or human livers inside the bodies of animals like pigs or cows. A participant in an online forum a few years ago on human and animal chimeras described it this way: unbelievable. If there was anything that was more anti-God, it is the genetic formation of chimeras, which is nothing more than Frankenstein monster-like creation. And now to discuss human embryos and the creation of chimeras is Dr. Joseph Meany, the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia. Dr. Meany received his PhD in bioethics from the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart in Rome and was the director of International Coordination for Human Life International for many years. Dr. Meany, welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you this morning here on Flag Day.
Yes, it's great to be there. Thank you.
Dr. Meany, first of all, can you define for us what exactly is a chimera and some of the ethical dangers of introducing human DNA into animals and vice versa?
Right. So the technical definition of a chimera is essentially when you're combining human beings or animals or combining two different animals together. So it's essentially genetic manipulation of two different creatures and trying to make a combination. And so that obviously has major implications when you're doing that to human beings or to animals, adding human DNA to them.
Your reaction to the quote that I shared a moment ago, just unbelievable, kind of like a Frankenstein monster type creation. It was the thoughts of one person, individual, who was part of a survey on this issue.
Yeah, well, no, it's absolutely true that there's kind of a visceral, you know, a very, very deep felt rejection of trying to create some kind of hybrid human-animal creature. And because, you know, there's a special dignity to the human person, and animals, you know, have a certain dignity as well as creatures, but they do not have, you know, an immortal soul. As Catholics, we believe that. And they do not have that, you know, right to life that human beings do. So, the danger really here is to create either a debased human being with grave disabilities, or to create an animal that has many human-like qualities, neither of which is a good thing.
If you think that the idea of human-animal chimeras is unthinkable, if you have a question about this issue or what the Church teaches from a moral perspective, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Doctor, can you explain to us what the Catholic Church teaches, what the Catholic magisterial teaching is on human life being treated with the greatest respect?
Right. So, you know, there ever since really the 1970s, when there started to be this manipulation of human beings through in vitro fertilization, where, you know, the first child that was born through this this procedure where they're conceived in a laboratory instead of conceived by their parents was Louise Brown, who was born there in the 1970s. But ever since then, there's been this manipulation of human embryos in laboratories. And of course, when a very young human being, you know, at the one cell stage or very, very early weeks of life, is there in a laboratory, they can be manipulated. And one of the things that can be done to them is to introduce animal DNA into those human beings. And unfortunately, that has been done recently in China. So there, you know, this is actually going on. And then the opposite, right, which is less serious, which is, you know, manipulating animal embryos by introducing some human DNA into them. That is another issue, and a little bit more complicated. But you could never take a human being and introduce animal DNA into them.
We're joined by Dr. Joseph Meany, live from Philadelphia, the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center and a PhD in bioethics. We're talking about the issue of human embryos and the creation of chimeras that are going on in this day and age. Doctor, do you think that part of the reason that this has been going on now since, as you mentioned, since the 1970s, is the fact that many of these scientists, these people that are working on this type of work, do not have a Christian or a Catholic worldview, so there's no moral limits?
Yes, I think that is essentially the problem. Now, if you don't see a problem with creating a human being in a laboratory, you know, and manipulating them, in a petri dish, etc., then you're already very far gone. And then it's another step to say, well, you know, what can we do to modify this little human being? You know, and that whole attitude, which is actually very common in science today, is, you know, not what should we do, but what can we do? You know, trying to push the limits of what kind of manipulations can take place is a very, very dangerous attitude. And one of the things that has been coming out, you know, recently, and again, a lot of this has its origin in China, but, you know, genetic manipulation of human beings. So, you know, the threat of cloning, the threat of doing really germline genetic changes. So changing, you know, at the embryo stage that the DNA of the person who then, if they grow up, would then, you know, pass that on and really change the nature of that human being in the sense that they would pass on those genetic qualities. That's all extremely serious, and the church is completely opposed to doing anything like that, beginning with creating a human life in a laboratory rather than, you know, in the loving embrace of their parents.
And again, the Catholic Church teaches that cloning is against the moral law because it's contrary to the dignity of human procreation and the marital union. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that really is very striking in, you know, the propositions for cloning. So a lot of them say, oh, well, we're not going to do reproductive cloning. You know, we're just going to clone and kill. So they're planning on, you know, trying to clone a person, and then if they're successful, then killing them. And so right from the get-go, you see that there's no real respect for those human beings because they're planning on killing them from the very beginning. And when it comes to these chimeras, it's exactly the same thing. They're like, oh, well, you know, we wouldn't allow any of these to come to life. We just want to see if we can do it. So, you know, come to birth, I mean, they're obviously alive, but then they'll kill them. So you can see right away that there's not this respect for the human person because they're already planning on killing them, even if they're successful.
Dr. Meany, what has been the reaction from Congress in terms of some of the recent efforts to introduce amendments in the Senate to prevent billions and billions of dollars of new scientific research money from going to research involving these chimeras?
Yeah, so that was very interesting to see, right? Because it basically came down to a party line vote in the Senate. There was an amendment that was presented to ban any kind of chimera work in science with this new funding that's coming out, and it failed on a party line vote. Basically, all the Democrats voted against the ban, and all the Republicans voted for it. And it was very sad to see that there wasn't consensus on this very basic point that we don't want human-animal hybrids. So I think there's need for a huge amount of education that, you know, this can never be acceptable. Now, you know, it is true that it might be possible to grow a human organ, in a separate way, but that would have to have so many ethical safeguards put in, and you couldn't start with a human embryo ever. You know, the idea of maybe, you know, growing a human heart in an animal or something like that could possibly be, you know, a solution, but that would have to be really, really, really looked at and given all kinds of ethical concerns, because the church has always said, right, in terms of transplantation, you can never transplant a human brain, you can never transplant human sexual organs. All those things are very intrinsic to the human person and cannot be, that you can transplant a heart, right? You can transplant a lung, but you cannot transplant something that is just so essential to the individual, just like you can't clone that person.
Dr. Meany, do you think that Congress and some members of Congress are getting it wrong, just like they get it wrong when it comes to the issue of life and abortion? It's basically, if you're wrong at the very beginning, the first moment of life, you're going to be wrong later on.
Yeah, I think one of the big issues here is that some of the abortion wars, in a sense, right? The pro-life versus the pro-choice side has even bled into this issue, which, again, should be even clearer, that we can't be manipulating human embryos and introducing animal DNA into them, et cetera. And somehow, you know, when it comes to human embryos, anything that would protect them, there's some individuals who are so committed to kind of the abortion proposition that human beings don't have rights until birth, that that they'll oppose even that, which is really tragic.
The CEO and president of Concerned Women of America, Penny Young Nance, issued a statement renouncing this legislation that we're talking about. And she says, quote, enabling Chimera research to go unchecked raises several ethical concerns. The dignity of human life at every stage of development must be respected and protected. This is not only a Catholic issue. Other Christians, anyone who believes in the dignity of life has to be concerned about this issue.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I think it's just a kind of a fundamental worldview. You know, you either think that that human beings deserve respect and protection, you know, from their first moment of existence, or you don't. But that should be a very universal, very common sense view. I think individuals who don't believe that, in a sense, have gone the ideological route. Somehow they've been persuaded by some very false arguments that human beings don't really exist until birth, you know, that our human personhood is something that is acquired somehow after birth. That is a very, very dangerous worldview, because it allows the sacrifice of millions and millions of human lives, which is, you know, the greatest tragedy we've seen here in the 20th century.
We're joined by Dr. Joseph Meany, live from Philadelphia, the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center and a PhD in bioethics. We're talking about human embryos and the creation of chimeras. Doctor, we're talking about this issue, and this is not science fiction anymore. As you alluded to earlier, in China, scientists are doing it. There's some interest in Israel and other countries to produce human embryonic chimeras and then kill them a few weeks after they are alive in the lab. Can you talk about this movement that's spreading across our world, especially beginning in China?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a modern kind of preoccupation with creating sort of superhuman beings and modifying human beings in different ways. And this kind of falls into that category, although it's very strange, right? Because if you sort of read into the transhumanist movement, you know, and other of these groups, sometimes there's an even darker side than creating superhuman beings, but also creating sort of lesser human beings that would be kind of at the service of the others. So, you know, kind of like an animal, human-animal hybrid that would be kind of like a servant class or something. It's a very, science fiction-y sort of scenario that, unfortunately, you know, is actually possible technically, and therefore can be done in some sense, right? People are working towards that goal, and we have to be very, very clear about rejecting it and saying, look, we don't want to create superhuman beings. We don't want to create disabled human beings, you know, on purpose, just to see what kind of manipulations are possible. That is just not acceptable.
If you're opposed, if you think it's unthinkable, the idea of human-animal chimeras, or if you have questions about this issue for Dr. Joseph Meany, what the Church teaches from a moral perspective, you're wondering, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. What about the 14-day rule that is understood when we're talking about human embryos? Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, so that, again, that came out with Louise Brown, right, and the first in vitro fertilization child. When they realized that human beings could be created in the lab, then the next question was, so what can be done, and how long could they be kept alive in the lab, et cetera. And so it was proposed and then quickly accepted kind of all over the world, well, we will only keep them alive, but then kill them, right? So terrible, 14 days. And that rule was put into place. It was kind of a fictional rule in the sense that they weren't even capable of keeping human embryos alive beyond 14 days. Now suddenly there's a possibility they might be able to do so. And so then there's a real call to say, okay, well, maybe 28 days or maybe no limits at all. We could just create human life in the lab and keep them alive all the way until who knows, maybe until birth. That is another very scary thought. 14-day rule started off as kind of like a false kind of reassurance to people that, there wasn't going to be a Frankensteinian reality of artificial gestation of human beings. But now they're kind of casting that off and saying, wait a second, no, maybe we should be able to go until the full limits of science are reached in terms of human life in the lab. Terrible, terrible thought.
Dr. Meany, do you have any idea how we as Catholic Christians can make our voices be heard that we are opposed to the creation of chimeras? What can we do? What can we do politically? What can we do socially, spiritually?
Yeah, so I think it is important because, this issue is so clear-cut that I think our representatives and our senators need to hear from us, that we are very strong in this position, because it is very different in a sense, right, from the general abortion debate, in that it's one step further, right? It's really debasing human beings with animal parts, the worst scenario, right, is creating animals with different human organs, et cetera, that could never be transplanted or create like a human brain or something like that. So I think there's a lot of hope that we can convince people in our political leadership, but I think also in the scientific community that this is just one step too far.
Dr. Meany, 90 seconds that we have left. One final thought on this expanding study of human-animal chimeras and some of the challenges that we need to reflect on carefully from a moral perspective. Can you give us some words of wisdom?
I think it's so important to look at, what is it about the human being that is so distinctive? We have creation through God, right? Procreation through our parents. And that has to be preserved and not have science interfering with the natural order here. It's very fine to do all kinds of cures, et cetera, but not at the cost of human lives and the cost of creating human beings in laboratories.
Well, Dr. Meany, I really appreciate you helping us to understand this very important, very concerning issue of human embryos and the creation of chimeras. Thank you for putting it in perspective from an authentically Catholic point of view. Thank you, Dr. Meany.
God bless you, John.
God bless you, too. Dr. Joseph Meany, the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Emily Jaminet, the author of the book, The Friendship Project, to talk about the importance of friendship as adult women. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come on this Monday edition, this Flag Day edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
30 minutes after the hour, and welcome back to Morning Air on this Flag Day, this Monday, June 14th. I'm John Morales. Great to be with you once again on the Relevant Radio Network and on the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later, we'll have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as we enter the summer months, many couples are getting married this time of year. But the question is, how prepared are these couples for the sacrament of matrimony? And now joining us is Yvonne Brizolara. Yvonne and her late husband, Bruce, started as annulment support ministers back in 2004, later trained as facilitators for the FOCUS program, the Facilitate Open Communication and Understanding Study program. They worked with over 800 engaged couples schools in parishes throughout the Chicago Archdiocese. And based their experiences, they wrote a book called Now and Forever, Are We Ready for Marriage? To help couples at any stage of their relationship to develop a better and deeper understanding and empathy for their partners. Since her husband's death, Yvonne has established BrizzolaraCoaching.com as a marriage coach. Good morning, Yvonne. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, John. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's a joy to be with you. First of all, talk to us a little bit about your involvement with Focus. Tell us what it is. What is the philosophy of Focus?
Okay, as you already said, FOCUS stands for Facilitate Open Couple Communication, Understanding, Study. It's basically an inventory that was established in 1985 by the Office of Family Life of the Archdiocese of Omaha, where couples sit down independently online. Nowadays, at first it was done, you know, by paper, and they answer 150-plus questions about, you know, things that can come up in marriage. It is then scored and sent to a facilitator, which is preferably another couple, because, you know, sometimes priests do it, but priests do not have the experience in day-to-day marriage. They then sit down with the couple and kind of review the areas where they disagree. There's no really right or wrong answer. It's just, as we all know who have been married, it's about understanding one another, understanding the differences, finding the things that are similar, and sitting down and be able to discuss them. And we have found that the success rate with couples who have good marriage prep is at least 30% better than couples who just go into marriage thinking everything's going to be wonderful and, you know, we don't need to do anything beforehand.
Yvonne, where were some of the questions that were so obvious that kind of stuck out at you that really are important to look at before you get married?
Oh, everything from, you know, do you, you know, how important is faith in your life? You know, where do you want to live? Sometimes, you know, do you want to have children? Even career moves. Are you willing to move if your husband or your wife, you know, gets a better job? You know, all the little things like that. You know, people, finances, you know, how do you spend money? Are you a spender or a saver? Things like that are really important, and we don't always think about them.
Yvonne, as you worked with couples, what were some of the strengths that you began to notice of the couples that you dealt with that helped them later on succeed, be part of that positive 30% that had success in their marriage?
Well, some facilitators wouldn't agree with me, but when Bruce and I would get an inventory and it was scored, like you said, 50% versus one that the couple seemed to agree, like 96%, we actually had more hope for those couples than we did for the ones that were 100%, because anyone who's been married knows you don't agree 100% of the time. It's usually about compromise. And the ones that were 50% were couples who were honest enough with themselves and with each other to say, yeah, there are some issues. Yeah, we don't agree on this. These are areas we need to discuss, because if you're willing to have an open communication about the things that you see as a problem or areas in your marriage beforehand and during, you're going to be more successful. It's the couples who keep everything in who say, oh, no, we don't have a problem, or that's not an issue, or I'm not willing to discuss it. That's where the problems occur. So the strength is a couple who comes in open-minded and says, yeah, let me see what this is all about.
We're talking to Yvonne Brizzolara, pre-marriage counselor, relationship marriage, and pre-marriage coach, also author of the book Now and Forever, Getting to Know Your Partner Before Marriage. Yvonne, what were some of the issues that spelled trouble for some of these couples down the road?
Finances was a major one. A lot of times it can be family dynamics. In-laws can be another one. Even friends, because nowadays couples, yeah, the median age of couples getting married nowadays is about 32. In 1960, it was 22. So by the time couples are getting married, you know, they've gotten out of college, you know, they've started their careers, they've got their friends. A lot of times their friends become their family. They don't have that, what we used to have, that family support. And all of a sudden, you know, they're very independent. They're like, you're not going to tell me what to do. Why do I need to make plans with you? So all kinds of things enter into marriage. Yeah, we found one of the things is marriage prep nowadays has to be very fluid, dynamic, and a little bit fun. If you think about it, most couples will spend thousands of hours preparing for their wedding day. But you tell them they have to go to pre-Cana or marriage prep or meet with the priest a few times, which in the end might be 24, 36 hours of their time. And they're like, oh, my God, I got to do that. No, I need to go do my cake testing or my food testing or make sure I have the perfect flowers. Without thinking, they're talking about thousands of hours for one day versus, you know, maybe 36 hours for the rest of their life.
Why do you suppose there's such a lack of understanding about the importance of being prepared, of really getting yourself emotionally and mentally and even spiritual ready for marriage?
I think because society no longer puts an emphasis on marriage. We have so many couples who live together before marriage. They kind of test the thing out. It's not part of our society anymore. I think people are just like, okay, yeah, that's something I've got to do. Yeah, even I think we all know we've been to too many first communions, confirmations, and weddings where these, you know, families, you know, they want the sacrament. It's not about actually being prepared for the sacrament or understanding the sacrament. Yeah, they want a beautiful venue. They're getting married in the church because mom or grandma is going to have a fit if they don't. And, you know, for them, it's a bother to be prepared for marriage rather than an opportunity to have the best marriage possible, because marriage is so beautiful. It's, you know, the hard, you know, having lost my husband recently, yeah, I really have reflected a lot on our marriage. And yeah, it was the hardest job I've ever had, but it was also the most fulfilling job. Yeah, sharing your life with another person is one of God's greatest gifts to us that we are given the opportunity to do, but so many people don't see it as that anymore.
Our condolences, of course, to
thank you.
The passing away of your husband, Bruce, who was really not only your husband, but he was also your partner when it came to your ministry and to the writing of the book, Now and Forever, Are We Ready for Marriage? Talk a little bit about your book and your inspiration and your motivation for writing this book.
Our 800 couples were our inspiration and our motivation. We saw Focus is a wonderful program. There are other good marriage prep programs out there. But we noticed that it wasn't as fluid and dynamic as it needed to be. We noticed that there were questions that are relevant now that couples deal with that maybe they didn't deal with 5-10 years ago. So we wanted to give, and there's also, you know, dioceses and priests and churches who don't put the emphasis on the marriage prep, or couples aren't given the opportunity. So we wanted something out there that couples could buy and just say, okay, we're going to do it on our own. Let's see where our strengths are, where our weaknesses are, what we need to work on. And not every section is going to apply to every couple. We try to do it based on what marriage is truly about today, not 20 years ago.
Talk a little bit about faith. You mentioned that as one of the issues that need to be looked at before you get married. I know for our wedding, we just celebrated 16 years last month.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But the one thing I remember in our marriage prep, in our marriage prep, we were told that my job is to get my wife to heaven and her job is to get me to heaven. It's a simple as that.
It is. You know, my faith came from when Bruce and I got married. I was not Catholic. I'm a convert. And yeah, he kind of brought me to the faith. I had an interest in Catholicism, but would never have made the move. I saw Bruce's faith and I said, I want to be part of that. When I became a Catholic, his faith also grew. And together we would, you know, go to Mass. Together, you know, we grew in our faith. And that is so important. We would always recommend to our couples, you know, go to Mass together. And maybe after Mass, use that as the entree to, you know, your date night. It's time that we take for ourselves as individuals and as a couple to stop the world for a few minutes to say, okay, let us spend time with God and with each other, because God is part of our marriage. And so often we forget that. People nowadays tend to turn to God in times of crisis. I think a lot of people, you know, went back to God last year with COVID. You know, I know a lot of people who didn't watch Mass or didn't go to Mass, all of a sudden were watching Mass. But it should be part of our lives every single day. And a good faith relation, good relationship with God also strengthens our marriage with one another, because we have to stop. We have to, you know, there's the old saying, ego edging God out. When we don't allow God in our lives, we miss so much, and he's not there with us in our marriage.
One of my heroes, the late, great Archbishop Fulton Sheen, once wrote a book called It Takes Three to Get Married. It's the husband, the wife, and Christ. I think he was so wise, and he wrote that many, many years ago, and I think it's still so relevant today.
It is. It really is. And yeah, it's not about, yeah, we dealt with a lot of couples, you know, where both were Catholic. Where one was Catholic, one was Protestant. We had some couples where one was Catholic, one was Jewish. You know, we dealt a lot from the University of Chicago, where you ended up having even more variances, like one might be a Hindu or whatever. And yes, you know, just like, you know, if in a relationship, both are Cubs fans or Bears fans, it makes it a lot easier, you know, because you're both rooting for the same team. But that doesn't mean that if you're, yeah, different religions, that you can't make it work, because it's about respecting each other's religions. It's about sharing, in the end, whatever you call it, it's God. So you may call God by a different name or not believe, you know, some of the in Mary or in the saints as we do in the Catholic faith, if you're a Protestant. But in the end, it's all about that belief that God is part of our lives. It's about sharing that and understanding and looking for, you know, the commonalities and respecting the differences, just like we have to with individuals. You know, you and your wife are not the exact same person. You're two different individuals, and you love the differences as well as what's the same.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So true. Talking to Yvonne Brizolara, a pre-marriage counselor, relationship marriage, and pre-marriage coach, also the author of the book Now and Forever, Getting to Know Your Partner Before Marriage. If you want to be part of our conversation on marriage prep, if you have a comment or question for Yvonne Brizolara, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will continue to talk about some of these issues of faith, living together, children, careers, finances that are so important to be addressed as you get ready to get married. You're listening to Morning Air here on this Monday morning. I'm John Morales. We'll be back after a short break. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
27 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Flag Day, Monday, June 14th. I'm John Morales. Great to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, 888-914-9149. We're joined by Yvonne Brizolara, relationship, marriage, and pre-marriage coach, and also the author of Now and Forever, Getting to Know Your Partner Before Marriage. Before the break, we were talking about the importance of faith. For Catholics who really want to approach this from a truly spiritual perspective, could you talk about marriage as a sacrament, not just a concept? contract like it is in the secular world?
I think marriage is, you know, with God in our lives, it's a sacrament that, you know, we live in a society that's a feel-good society. A lot of young people today are, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out, a throwaway society. And I think the sacrament of marriage teaches us that marriage is about a commitment to one another with God involved, saying, you know, you don't throw it away. It's not something you're not testing something. This is a commitment for life where, you know, it's about compromise. It's about conversation. It's about understanding. It's about working through the hard times. It's about being there for one another and lifting each other up, not putting each other down. Yeah, it's not like going and saying, okay, this is my job. I'm going to go apply at this company. And if I don't like it after a year, I can change jobs. No, this is something that is for life, that is, you know, a life partnership with another person centered in God that we live every single day and should never give up on. And we are in a society where we give up on things and keep going on, and that's not what marriage is about. It's about having that life partner who's going to be there every single day for you, that is the person that you trust more than anybody else, who's your best friend, who shares your faith, that you can pray together with, that you support one another with. That's the way, yeah, that's what I would tell couples.
Yvonne, you mentioned money earlier. That's an issue that's also very important to address. You know, when two people get married, they become one flesh, according to Scripture. But I believe that their bank accounts also need to become one flesh. Talk about the importance of a proper understanding of finances.
You know, nowadays, as couples are getting married older, yeah, at 31, it's no longer when you were 22, you had that first apartment that, you know, if you talked, you know, to your parents or your grandparents, it's like, you know, my best memories are when we didn't have money. Well, nowadays, couples do tend to have money. They're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if the marriage fails? Prenups, that type of thing. It's about, you have to join 100% in marriage. You know, you have to be willing to throw your money together. But then comes the issue of the differences in how we spend money, what we see is important. One of the things that Bruce and I would recommend is that couples would sit down and make like a priority list of where right now they like to spend money. If for women, you know, men always say, my wife loves to go shopping. She spends way too much. Women will say, my husband loves to go, you know, to the ball game. Well, yeah, that's all important to us. But once we get married, our priorities need to change. But in order for those priorities to change, we also need to understand what each individual's priorities were. Because otherwise, yeah, there's a lot of types of fidelity in marriage. One of them is also financial fidelity. And sometimes you have that problem in marriage where someone will say, well, my husband or my wife doesn't approve, so I'm going to go buy that on the side. Well, in the end, you're spending your money that's jointly yours. So you have to have some sort of agreement where you're going to spend the money. Yeah, if you want to move out of that apartment and you want to buy a house, you're going to have to make changes to your spending habits. You have to have those conversations because it's no longer your money. It's now our money. You know, there's no I in marriage. It's all about our, you know, everything's got to be combined.
Yeah. Sounds like teamwork. There's no I in marriage, without a doubt. What about communication, Yvonne? Can you talk about different styles of communication, how it's important for the couples to understand how they best communicate?
Yeah, communication is the biggest thing. The best example, one of the nice things when you do focus as a couple, because each person in the facilitating couple brings different things to it. Bruce grew up in an Irish-Italian family that was very vocal. I grew up in a stoic German family. When Bruce and I first got married, he'd say, well, how do you feel about that? I'm like, it's okay. I like it. I don't like it. Bruce said, no, no. How do you feel? I'm like, what is it you want? I didn't understand what it was he needed from me. In most cases, it's the woman who wants the man to talk about more emotions. In our case, it was the opposite. But, you know, we saw that a lot with couples where the woman was like, well, he doesn't talk to me. He doesn't share his emotions. And the man's like, I really don't understand what it is you want from me. Good marriage prep will help couples to kind of understand, okay, what is it? That's what I do in coaching, is, you know, help couples to really listen to one another, not listen to reply, but listen to understand. We have different styles. We need to understand each other's styles. We need to understand that sometimes our spouse doesn't feel like talking, that they need a half an hour, that it's okay to take a break when we're arguing, but that we need to come back to the conversation. You can't just say, okay, she's going to forget about it or he's going to forget about it, because those become built up resentments in marriage, which will end up dividing you rather than bringing you closer together. If we don't work to understand one another and understand maybe how our life experiences affect how we communicate or how we listen, it's going to be problematic in marriage. Marriage is all about compromise. It's all about understanding. It's all about being able to communicate. When the wife gets upset because the husband leaves the towel on the floor, is it really because the towel is on the floor or because she feels disrespected because the message she's getting is, it's not my job to pick up the house, it's your job, you're the maid. Yeah, how are we seeing what our spouse is doing or not doing in marriage?
Yvonne, so much to talk about, so little time, less than 2 minutes to go, but real briefly, the importance of being open to life, children, if you want to have an authentic Catholic marriage.
You know, part of, as we know as Catholics, when you get married in the Catholic Church, you agree to be open to children. And that is a conversation that couples need to have. Too many of them are saying, we want to go on vacation. We want to do this. We want to do this. We have to be open to life. We have to be open to God's plan for us, to the beauty of children. Too many couple, and that is one of the things we discuss with couples. When are you ready to have children? Couples need to have that conversation. They need to be open to it. And too often they're not, because our society has become very selfish and they want to do what they want to do. They see their parents getting older and say, well, they never had time to go on vacation, so we're going to go on vacation. We're going to see the world before we have kids. So we're going to contracept. And it's like, no, that's not what this is about. Too many priests are afraid to even bring up natural family planning anymore, where, God is in the plan. It's all about contracepting and taking the easy way out. So that is a conversation that we often had with couples about, being open to children and to life in their marriage, and the beauty that that brings and the strength it brings to your marriage.
Well, Yvonne, we really appreciate all your great advice here this morning. Where can our listeners find out more about marriage at your website?
I am currently updating my website, BrizoleraCoaching.com. But they're welcome to come there. I also have it on Facebook. So, just visit, message me, and I'll be glad to help in any way I can.
Thank you.
And my book is available on Amazon, both for Kindle and in hard copy.
Thanks so much, Yvonne. Thanks for joining us. Yvonne Brizolara, co-author of Now and Forever, Are We Ready for Marriage? And it's now time for another Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Together Again. A woman was reunited with a wallet she lost 46 years ago after an employee working on a remodeling job at Southern California's historic Majestic Ventura Theater discovered it inside a crawl space. Tom Stevens told the Ventura County Star he then went on social media to try and locate the owner based on clues in the wallet, including old photos, a 1973 Grateful Dead concert ticket, and a California driver's license for Colleen Diston, that expired in 1976. Does anyone know Colleen Diston? He asked on the theater's Facebook page. While doing some maintenance, we found her wallet. There are a bunch of pictures of people, and they're super cool from that era also. Someone may want them. If you are, or if you know Colleen, drop us a line and we'll have it here for you. After thousands of shares, word got back to Colleen, who grew up in Ventura and remains a resident. She said she heard from a lot of people online and received a call about the post. Diston went to pick up the red wallet, now brownish with age, and said it was like opening a time capsule. Diston said she'd lost the wallet in 1975 when she was in her early 20s. It was then a movie theater. She said it must have fallen out of her purse, which she had placed on the theater floor. At the time, her wallet held a $200 check and family photos. I remember calling the next day when I realized it was gone. They said no one found it, but to call back, which I did. Diston told KCAL-TV, "I'm shaking," she said as she looked through the wallet. It contained poetry and notes, photographs of high school friends, the $5 ticket to a Grateful Dead concert at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and photos of Diston's mother, who died several years ago. "It's really wonderful," Diston said in an emotional voice. Diston said she initially was reluctant to talk publicly about her experience, but said there was such a positive response that she gave in. "It says a lot about society that people are looking for a human story and something to feel good," she told the Star. "People need to see the gratitude. I think there's so much other negative stuff. I think this is what touched people." Isaiah 46:9 reminds us, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." Another outstanding Glenn Story Corner. Glenn, what a great story. Just amazing to have that time capsule of what we were doing, you know, to find that some 40 years on. It's kind of cool. I love looking through old stuff and the danger of cleaning out an attic. You stop and get lost in what you're looking at and never completely complete the job.
It was meant to be. Coming up in the next hour, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will discuss young saints like Italian Carlos Acutis and their example on young kids. And author Emily Jaminet will share the importance of friendship as adults. Do stay with us on this morning edition of Morning Air. There's much more to come on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.